Welcome to the Catholic Cafe, where Catholic truth is served fresh daily. We've made you a reservation in the luxurious corner booth, so come on in and see what's on the menu today. Now, here's your host, Deacon Jeff Drzemski.
Greetings and welcome to the Catholic Cafe. I'm Deacon Jeff, sitting in the luxurious corner booth of the Catholic Cafe. We got the band all back together. Woo. We got Ziggy Rodriguez.
That's me.
And we have Venerable Tom Dorian.
Hello.
Who is healing.
Healing.
You're healed. I think you look good to
for
me.
For the most part.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, covered in Band-Aids.
Yes, yeah. But it's okay. Yeah. He did it himself. He got those little ones with the Little Mermaid on the Band-Aids. And it's really cute.
I think they're cool.
Yeah.
I want to be a part of your world, Tom.
Yeah, hey.
All right, so we are continuing
kind of a
here.
Thing getting going here. <isn't it? laughs>
We are continuing with our series on the transcendentals. Holy Mother Church has these transcendentals of truth, beauty, goodness, unity, simplicity. That are just wonderful things to study and to look into and to realize that basically it's the fabric of our existence. And also we live in a culture and a world that is struggling with the existence of God, whether God actually exists or if he does exist, whether he's relevant. I think everyone who's listening right now has somebody either in the family or in their circle of friends or whatever environment they find themselves in, whether it's work or at the gym, whatever. It wouldn't be me. I'm at the gym. But the point is that, you know people who are kind of living their life and just kind of doing what they want to do the way they want to do it. They believe what they believe. And then you see things in the news when you hear stories about how we're changing the standards in schools so that we're a little more flexible about like what the right answer on the test might be.
Yeah.
To the point where we're challenging like things that I was raised to believe 1 + 1 = 2. And I still kind of believe that, I'm pretty sure. But at the same time, you find out in some schools they're going like, but that's a little too stringent. We need to realize where people are and we need to. And part of all of that, I think, is essentially this understanding of whether God exists. Mm-hmm. And so today we're going to focus on the transcendental of truth. Mm-hmm. Is there a truth? Is truth a singularity or is truth like this floating, thing that just kind of people reach up and grab every once in a while? Are there several clouds of truth that wander about the universe that we reach up into? And is there a little cloud over our little cloud of truth over our head, that just,
that's
that we
my
live
truth.
In? That's your truth, exactly.
Well, right. So, and it's interesting because, like, this Sunday is Gaudete Sunday, right? The theme of that is joy.
Rejoice, yeah.
Yeah, and there's a line from Scripture, where Paul talks about love rejoices in the truth. Charity rejoices in the truth. And a lot of people, like you're saying, they're not really rejoicing in the truth right now. And it's not just people who don't believe in the truth. Even, I would say, generally speaking, you look at what's going on in the news, people are concerned about things like World War III breaking out.
Yeah.
It's hard to kind of rejoice in the truth of current events for a lot of people. Or, a lot of times we might struggle with things going on in our own life. We might want to put our heads in the sand and be like, man, things are pretty bad right now. It's hard for us to sometimes rejoice in the truth of the circumstances in which we find ourselves or how we might see ourselves or image ourselves.
There's
right?
not a lot of rejoicing period going on in the world.
Right. Right?
There really isn't. In fact, if you look at some of the medical studies, you'll find that like this era of time is probably the most. There are more prescriptions for anxiety medications, depression medications, than ever before in our history.
Yes.
People are really, really just, they're worried. They're balled up. They're just, they're like in the fetal position, I think to some degree, and there's just not a lot of happiness. Now, there are moments of happiness that people might have, but they're not what you're saying, this gaudete. They're not rejoicing.
Yeah.
Right. They might have a flash of like, oh, that was nice.
Yeah.
That was a nice sandwich I had.
Yeah.
Right. And that's just
they're more just warm, fuzzy, feel good kind of
right.
quick moments.
And then they end up seeking those. Right. And so then we start having problems with addictions and things like
right.
that, or having an addictive mentality, a personality. And it's like this is where we get into trouble. And at the core of that is our culture's lack of recognizing that something can be true.
I think so too. Yeah. I agree. And you know, I'd like to begin this conversation. There's a fancy phrase here, and sometimes, you know, within the church, there's fancy words like transubstantiation. Big word, but super important, right? Can't overstate the importance of transubstantiation. This phrase, it's a bit of a fancy phrase, but it's an important one to remember. And we're going to make it super simple as we break it down. The principle of sufficient reason, okay? Now, the principle of sufficient reason is if it exists, there must be a reason for its existence. That's the principle of sufficient reason. It's fairly common sense, right? But at the end, the thing
why does that matter?
Well, so first of all, the thing that's fascinating is that the principle of sufficient reason, this notion that if it exists, there must be a reason for its existence, we might immediately think, well, that's a theological thing. Actually, yes, it is, but it's also the basis for science. Like, you wouldn't have natural science if there isn't, like, a notion of order to the universe and to physical matter, right? So if you didn't have this notion of if it exists, there's a reason that it exists, then you wouldn't break matter down into its components and try to see how it relates to each other and try to study it. It would just be this big, confusing mess of things that we're stuck in, right? But that isn't the case, right? The project of science has been with us for centuries. All sorts of great breakthroughs have happened, both in the world of, like, technology or also just groundbreaking revelations about how our universe works. Here's the thing that's fascinating. Here's why it's important. The same thing, the principle of sufficient reason, if it exists, there must be a reason for its existence. Not only is it a basis for science, like the basis for science, it also points to God. And that's you can't help but chuckle here, because you have so many people in the scientific community, or so many people who are followers of the scientific community, who say science is one day going to disprove God. But in fact, that is literally impossible. Because science can only talk about what's observable, what's in the physical world. It can't talk about what ultimately underlies it, right? What underlies the reality. All it can say is, if it exists, if reality exists, which it does, if physical reality exists, which it does, there must be a reason for it. And that points us to God. Science itself, if it's practiced properly, should point us to God. So
there are so many people that separate science and religion, right?
Yes.
Or theology. They separate the two, and they see them in two different camps.
Yes.
And the reality is they don't. In fact, if like as you state, if science is done properly, right, if it's truly what it is, observing things and then essentially trying to theorize where they came from, why they came, what was the cause of this thing,
right?
Then science becomes a theological pursuit.
Right.
Whether you like it or not, if you're basically seeking truth.
You're seeking, so if science is studying the world of cause and effect in the physical world, guess what, folks? That must mean that there's an uncaused cause. And that's God. God is the uncaused cause. Like, to quote St. Thomas Aquinas, he says, God is the sheer act of to be itself. How did he identify himself? How did our Lord identify himself to Moses? I am. You know, he is the great I am. He is the I am that underlies all of reality.
Yeah, amen. And that's, again, now that's easy for folks like us who we kind of believe in God around here at the Catholic Cafe.
Sure.
And
just a little.
And we're God caused the donuts, right? And those are good.
Thank you.
Yeah. So
thank you, God.
Yes. But I always tell people, eat as many donuts as you can, because donuts are holy.
Bada bing.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, dad joke. Yeah. So now most people, I shouldn't say most people, people who are having a difficulty with the existence of God or who don't think God is relevant, they don't want to hear all this talk about, like, theology. They don't want to hear the talk. They want to keep that line in the sand between, well, that's this is science. I'm over here. I follow a couple of folks on Facebook.
Yeah.
And they're people I know. And I don't have interactions. I don't like debates on social media. But I will say that I'm like, I get a little frustrated when I keep reading the same basic stuff that's denying everything you just said.
Right.
And that's where a lot of people find themselves.
A lot of people do. And a lot of people also, I think, are caught up in this notion that, well, you have to either believe in God or you have to believe in, like, logic, because logic is the thing that is really the source of truth. And you have to turn that off, right, in order to believe in God. But that's not
like
what
faith is. You're just believing in you could believe in ghost-like, you know, whatever. It's like, it's not real, right? Faith is just like it's what your heart draws you to, right?
Yeah.
That's what they'll say.
That's what they'll say, but the church has never said that, right? The church has always been faith and reason, mm-hmm. right? And there's a very important reason for that, right? And I think to get to that, we have to look at the relationship between truth and logic. So there's a quote by St. Thomas Aquinas that is going to be a little bit odd for people to hear for the first time, but it says, "Logic defines the scope of God's power." Now, that people might say, like, well, that sounds like you're putting limits on God. God's limitless. Like, well, okay, but here's the thing. What he's saying is, so, like, there's Alexander Proofs. He's a Catholic philosopher, and he broke this down. He said, can God make a triangle that is also a square? And he's like,
right, or can he make something so heavy even he couldn't lift it?
Right.
That,
like,
kind of stuff.
At the end of the day, God, you know, he in terms of saying, like, logic defines the scope of God's power, it means that he doesn't work in contradiction. He works in truth, right? And so logic has a relationship to truth. And so and it actually, I think the best way for us to kind of, like, sink our teeth into this is think about logic and its relationship to just communication, right? So, like, communication between persons. If two people are having a conversation and there's no logic to it, like, you're just saying things and I'm saying things, but there's no frame of reference, there's no meaning. What is that? That's just gibberish.
There's a joke in here, by the way. I'm not going to drop it, but there's a joke.
Okay,
in there.
Okay. Yeah. But the point is that, like, that's pure gibberish. And so that there, if there's no logic, if there's then there's no communication.
So you're talking about logic here. Another way for other folks to maybe think about this is order.
Order, yeah.
Right? So that communication without order is disordered.
Yeah, if there's no meaning to the words,
it's not,
if it's just noises.
Right.
Yeah. Like, if they're noises strung together, but you're not actually, there's no meaning to it, there's no order to it, there's no structure to it, it's gibberish.
And even those people that do that clicking language, you know, that people make fun of or whatever.
There's logic.
They have a certain kind of number of clicks,
yeah.
and the volume and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So there is order.
It would mean something completely different if someone spoke in some way that was out of step with the logic that underlies that.
Yeah.
Right. And so, like, why is that important here? Okay, so we believe in a Trinity, right? The Trinity is three persons, one God, each co-eternal with the other, right? So God, in the notion of truth and logic going hand in hand, if God is three persons, one God, there is communication in that communion. Truth and logic go hand in hand. And similarly, God desires to communicate himself to us, mm-hmm. right? So logic is, it's you can think of it as the language and structure of truth.
So, and that also ties into all these words that we use when we're talking about Catholic theology, but theology itself is like things like revelation. God
yes.
reveals himself
yes.
in an effort to reach out to us, to have a relationship with us.
Yes.
And also in revelation, he reveals himself as truth in relationship that is logical and reasonable.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
And you tie all those things together. And then even though you have the mystery, the greatest Christian mystery, you know, of the Trinity, you still have something that is reasonable.
Right. Well, and here's something that you might find interesting in Radio Land. So if you look at the Gospel of John, we all know in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, right? That word in the Koine Greek, guess what it is? It's logos. So it means word, yes, but it also doesn't just mean word. It also means the logic, the logos, the logic that underlies those words, right?
Yeah, now, again, we hear the word logos. It's not something we go around saying. In fact, interestingly, when people hear that word logos,
Yeah.
They think of a logo
sure.
from a company, but that's not necessarily disconnected to this because there's an image that was created
yes.
that communicates what that company is, what that company does.
Yes.
It's the identity of that company.
Yes.
Right? So it is logic and it is reason and it is relationship. It's all those things.
It is.
So it's tied to this whole thing.
And so, like, if you can really literally restate the opening of John's gospel as in the beginning was the Logos, and the Logos was with God, and the Logos was God, right? And or similarly, like when John says all things were created through Jesus, you know, who at that point has been identified as the Logos of God, all things were created through the Logos of God. This gets back to that principle of sufficient reason that we were talking about. And God is communicating himself through our rationally ordered universe. So the order that's there, that's underlying the universe, God is speaking to us and announcing his presence through that order.
Now, again, we've used the word order a couple of times. And sure. this is one of the, like when I'm talking either to someone who doesn't believe in God or doesn't think God is relevant or thinks that the world is a little more chaotic than that.
Yeah.
Right. And sees chaos in the world and doesn't see meaning to anything.
Right.
Right. Doesn't see logos.
Right.
There are people that are like that. That's when I will talk to them about the idea of order, the fact that we can know what time the sun's going to rise tomorrow morning.
Right.
It's a simple little thing. We look at our iPhone and it says it's going to rise at 6:03 a.m. or whatever. Right.
Yeah.
It's like you have to wonder, like, how do they know that? How did even like astronomers back in the day
yeah.
figure these things out that piece it all together, and they could then essentially, there was a predictability.
Yes.
And predictability is not like, this is not, it's not quote unquote magic.
Right.
Magic is bad. This,
right.
It's not even that. It's like, it's order. They're observing scientifically order in the universe. And when you say like, well, if this thing happens this way through processes like gravity and all these kind of things, you know, when you're looking at the ordered world, then you have to go, well, if it is ordered, it's not chaotic. They're not looking at a chaotic world. They're looking at an ordered world. That means there has to be an orderer.
Yes.
Right? Go back to the principle of sufficient reason. There's a reason why things exist. There's a cause. There's a
yes.
there's something that put all of this in motion. And that, by the way, folks, if you've got the kid that says they're an atheist or they profess to be agnostic, you can tell them. You can say, well, good luck with tomorrow. You have yeah. no idea what's going to be right. happening tomorrow.
Right.
But they're going to go like, no, that's silly because I believe in science. It's like, now you go into this discussion about, well, then you believe in faith and reason. You know, you have faith that the sun's going to come up tomorrow.
Yeah.
Why? Because it's an ordered universe. Because we know that we're rotating, you know, around the sun, and we know that we're going to see the sun and that the earth is also spinning. And we know that from scientific observance. So we can find God in science. We can find God because he's the author of creation. He's the author of nature itself. We live in natural law.
Yeah.
And so this is why all this talk about logos and the principle of sufficient reason are very important. At a very base level, helping someone understand the difference between an ordered and a disordered universe is key to the understanding of mm-hmm. God existing.
Well, and going back to what you were saying about faith and reason, right? So if we want to connect back to the Gospel of John with using the logos, right, that's in the Koine Greek, the logos of God, Jesus, the logos was made flesh and dwelt among us. So what do we take from that as Christians? It's that truth is not just a set of logical propositions. Truth is a person. A person is known by revelation and encounter, right? So that's why we need both faith and reason. They're inextricably tied.
Amen. And I know that. Yet it's hard to get people to convince, because what happens when you don't know that, right? You start thinking that truth is your own, in your own realm, you are the author of truth.
Right.
Right? It can be your truth. And also, we've heard that phrase. Well, that may be true for you.
Right.
Right? When you're having a discussion, it's like, truth is a singularity. There is a reality that one plus one, if it's true, it should always be true. Right? And we can get lost. And so we have to purposefully seek right, this truth. We have to earnestly and honestly look into these things, and we can't just like redefine them.
It has to be an act of the will, right? I mean, and sometimes it requires us to set aside our own feelings, our own misunderstandings. To seek truth, we must seek God. That's the thing. We have to seek God above all.
Well, I'll say it this way. I don't disagree with you. I 100% agree with you, but that's not going to convince a kid that doesn't believe in God. But the way I would phrase it is if we seek truth, we are seeking God, whether we know it or not.
Right. And the other thing to say to that person is, you know, to help them see that, given the same way that truth and logic are inextricably tied, if you walk them through this conversation of, this is why you have like the Father and the Son co-eternal with one another, where God and the Logos of God are inextricably tied to one another. That this is not just sort of instead of just, you know, just sort of some ancient person writing down these ideas on a scroll, and this is actually like truth itself is revealing itself to us, if we have a heart to receive it. And the other thing to say is that this is not the reason the Catholic Church isn't asked us to set aside our reason. What's happening when we live a life of faith and we seek God first, the result is actually an ennobling of our reason. It lifts up our reason so that our reason can fulfill its purpose and find our way to God.
Yeah. Now, again, and what happens when you don't do that is you end up where we kind of are right now, where people are just kind of saying like, well, you know, this is my truth. Mm-hmm. You know, that's true for you. Sam, this is all true for you, what you're saying here. It's all true for you, but
yeah.
Tom doesn't agree with you, right?
And we're all stuck in our own truths.
Yeah, we can be, unless we are genuinely.
Which is not logical.
No, it's not. It's illogical.
Right.
But if we are genuinely seeking truth, we're not seeking our own truth. We're not seeking... we don't want to just ratify what we believe.
Well, it's funny because it's only by finding our way to God that we can find our way to who we are, right? Like the truth of who we are is who we are in Him. You are not yourself. Yourself rebels against who you are in Him. This is why we as Catholics believe we have to die to self daily in order to be to rise to new life in Him. Right?
Well, in the core of when you don't die to self, essentially you become your own God.
Right.
And people don't like that phrase, oh, you're playing God. When we talk about things like abortion and gender dysphoria and things like, well, you're playing God by recreating yourself.
Right.
Right, in your own image.
Right. So they're like, well, if I'm not myself, who am I? You are a soul-body composite. You were loved into existence by Almighty God, and you were created for eternity, to spend eternity in perfect communion with Him. That is who you are. That is the perfect fulfillment of who you are. We all have that singular identity. We're a beloved child of God.
And we're called to live not for ourselves, but in truth.
Yes.
And if you live in truth, then you're living in a way that is part of God's revelation, right?
Right. And of course, still, like we were talking about before, sometimes it's hard for us to deal with truths about who we are and things that we've done, or sometimes it's harder for us to deal with the truths of our circumstances or the circumstances in the world. But if we seek God first and we set everything down and we say, you know what, underlying all this is goodness itself, is love itself. He is Lord. He loves me. And there's a greater good to His permissive will. I'm going to trust it even if I don't see it. That can be transformative to us and to our sufferings, because God desires to meet us in our sufferings and help us unite our sufferings to Him. You know, the same Paul who says love rejoices in the truth also said, I rejoice in my sufferings, right? And so I think that if we're running away from truths in our lives, if we are choosing to step into those truths with God and offer up our sufferings in union with Him, joy will come, because a higher meaning to our sufferings, a higher meaning to who how we might see ourselves and how we might see the circumstances in our life will come. We're not going to have all the answers, but we could have an increase in understanding. We can have an increase in peace and an increase of knowledge that we are seen, known, loved. We are protected. We are, and we are on a journey. We are on a journey to Him, him, he who is truth itself.
And those are things we can have, but I think more importantly, we end up having gaudete, right?
Yeah.
We end up finding joy.
Yes.
Because there's joy in this seeking, and then also in the step-by-step revelation that we encounter when we encounter truth, when we encounter you know, beauty and goodness. And let's not forget, we're doing a series here of these transcendentals, that truth and beauty and goodness, they're linked inextricably, right? They're together. They go hand in hand, part of a seamless garment. Remember the quote we've used a couple of times from Bishop Barron.
Lead with beauty.
Right.
In the beauty they will see goodness, and the goodness they will see truth.
Right. And so they're connected. This is not an isolated discussion about truth. And then we'll have an isolated discussion about simplicity or unity to follow this program. And it's like, it's all of these things. So when you discover something that's beautiful, you know, the symmetry, the order, the observed world, right? There's something beautiful about order. And then also the peace and the goodness, the settling in the soul when you see the sunset or you experience nature and or have a good relationship or a good meal. Right, there's goodness that is also, and then of course, when you realize that there is order in the world, that things are predictable because they are designed, and that means there is a designer. And so when you start to see that, you start to realize whether you believed it or knew it or were seeking that, you've actually found God. Mm-hmm. And God has revealed himself to you, and how wonderful that is. And not just that, like, I just now rejoice in the truth. I'm right. And that's not what happens. What ends up happening is you commune with the truth. You commune in goodness and in beauty, and then you start to realize you're now communing with God.
Mm.
And that's where we're called in this day and age, and that's when we got the families that are struggling and the kids that are kind of lost. We just need to keep revealing or pointing out the beauty and the goodness, and they find the truth, and that's what God intends. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Catholic Cafe. If you'd like to contact Deacon Jeff, send him an email at deaconjeff@thecatholiccafe.com. Visit us on the web at thecatholiccafe.com. You can also find us on iTunes or follow us on Facebook and Twitter. The Catholic Cafe is brought to you by the Order of Malta Federal Association. Join us again at the Catholic Cafe, serving up salvation one cup of coffee at a time.